according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, you don't have to turn there, that Jesus became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus took your sin, you took His righteousness. We call that the great exchange. Jesus took your sin, He took it, and you took His right standing. Amen? So that means you have right standing with Almighty God. And I took a little side rabbit trail there in talking about this scripture. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Oh yes, He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless them both small and great. The Lord, verse 14, shall increase you. Notice this, more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. All right, now that's my introduction today. Now, in the month of December, I was praying, and I mentioned this in the last two services, that to ask the Lord, specifically, Father, what is it that you have for us this year? What is it, what's on your heart, Lord? And there's always something on God's heart, you know what I'm saying? And the thing that stood out to me, and it was interesting because when the Lord gave this to me, I didn't hear it from somebody else. But when I embraced what He was telling, which I'm about to tell you, I started hearing it from other preachers that are out there, okay, that are on the airwaves, that are in the public eye, a lot bigger than what I am right now, okay? And it was confirmation of what God was saying. And here's what He said this. He said, 2016, the Lord said this. He says, in my spirit, He said, I have increase on my mind for every area of your life. And He's talking to me. He's talking to us as a church. In your health, in the unity of your family, in your prosperity, your influence, etc., etc. And I heard inside my heart, He said, Keith, I have increase on my mind this year. I want to bring increase to you. I want to bring increase to your church. I want to bring increase to the people in our church. I want to pay some debts off. Amen. The Lord wants to increase your health. Christians should be the healthiest people on the planet. And we can be. Amen? So if we're not there quite yet, that's just hang in there. Just hang in there. Keep pressing. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Because that is your door. That is your key to enter in to the fullness of what God has for you this year. Amen? And so God wants to get rid of a scarcity mindset. Not enough. See, I grew up in a family, I'm not blaming anybody, but we never had enough. It was never enough. It was a fearful, fear-filled mindset. Just not enough. Amen? I don't know if you've ever grown up that way, but I grew up that way. Now, I did learn some things through that because, you know, when I was basically 11 years old, my parents told me, said, son, if you want something, you got to work for it. Okay? So my first job I got, I was 11 years old. Okay? And I was barely shaving. and I got a job working as a caddy at a country club. And that's another story for another day. I took some serious abuse from some golfers that were upset about their game, and they took it out on me. You know, and, you know, I got over it, though. You know, and I learned some things that you work for things and you trust and you work and you're not lazy. You don't sit around and do nothing. You got to do something. Amen. God created us to do something, right? To put our hand to something. Glory to God. And but the thing was, we're a product of our environment. And I had to really unlearn some things because my family that I grew up in, you know, they're wonderful people, wonderful parents. My father's in heaven now. And, but you know, they learned later on in life, but starting out, there was never enough. It never seemed like there was enough. And so I adapted that mindset as a believer after I got saved. That was one of the hardest things for me to grasp a hold of, was that I can trust God for my natural things. That was one of the hardest things that I ever did. Do you know that? to trust God for natural things. In other words, to provide for me. I don't know if you've ever had that problem before, but man, I'm telling you what, it was like I was thrown into the oven. I was like, all right, just trust. I didn't know how to trust. So it took me some diligence to get into the Word and to hear messages. And I'm telling you, year after year after year, to begin to realize and change the way I think. I had some stinking thinking. I had some bad strongholds in my mind about lack and, you know, not having enough. And I remember when I first started our first church back in 1986, we were meeting in the Bethel Park Women's Club at the time when we started our first church. And I was 23 years old. Now I'm 55. So the Lord dealt with our hearts about stepping up. We had just come back from Texas, worked in a church, a large ministry in Texas for a couple of years. And then the Lord dealt with us about coming back, starting a church in our hometown at that time, all right? Well, we didn't have the only people we had was my mother, my father, and my brother, who was smaller at that time, and then Lynn and I. This is before we even had kids. So there was just a handful of people. And I remember we were having a prayer meeting in our living room. Just a couple of, we're praying in there, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me. This is maybe 3 or 4 months after we started the church. Now, we're both working secular jobs, Lynn and I, you know, and so forth, and we have the church on the side. We're just starting out, you know. And the Lord talked to my heart, and I did not want to hear what he told me. I'll tell you, it disturbed me. And the Lord said this to me. He says, son, I want you to quit your jobs and I want you to put all of your energy into the ministry right now. I felt like saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Because I'm thinking, okay, we're working two jobs here and we're still barely making it. And now you're saying, quit your job? Okay? I'm just telling you where I'm coming from here. The Lord was teaching me how to trust him as my provider. Okay? So, I kind of wrestled with it, you know, and then I sheepishly talked to Lynn afterwards. I said, I think the Lord spoke to me. Oh, yeah, what did he say? Well, and I told her, she goes, I believe that's God. Amen. And now, you don't just do that because you don't want to work. You know what I'm saying? Well, Lord, you'll provide. I'll just sit back in my lazy boy chair and you'll just, you know. But see, we had to transfer our trust. And I was learning, and I was still having a rough time with this, how to transfer my trust to the Lord. And so long story short, I went ahead and we stepped out and we said, okay, we're going to do this, you know. And our small congregation at that time knew, okay, that's all right. We can handle this, you know. And so I remember the first day I'm up there in my little office, which is our second bedroom. I'm up there praying. I'm like, God, you're going to have to come through here. You know, it's getting towards the first of the month here. We got rent due and car payment due and all this kind of stuff, you know. And you ever been there before? Yeah. And the Lord just kept talking about trust. Remember that scripture there we read? Trust, trust, trust. He was dealing with me about learning how to trust God, to trust him. So I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And this went on for several weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and I didn't see any change whatsoever. I didn't see any increase. I saw no, absolutely zero sign of any increase on the horizon. So I started thinking, Lord, did I miss you? Did I misunderstand? Did I mishear what you were saying? Did I just make those words up? And the Lord just kept talking to me. He said, no, Keith, just trust. Trust. Trust, you know. So one day, you know, I got done prayed to spirit for about 2 or 3 hours, just praying in tongues. And just, man, that's all I knew to do at that point, you know, just pray it out in tongues. When I don't know how to pray in the spirit. So I went down there and got the mail. You know, we had a metal mailbox. You could hear it clink, you know. And I went down there and got the mail. I'm going through. There's a bunch of junk mail. And then there was an envelope from somebody that we met. Didn't know very well that was in Texas and it was a little envelope. There was a letter in there, and I ripped it open, and lo and behold, there was a check in there for I think it was $1,200. And the Lord She wrote in this little letter, we had met this couple, older couple actually, when we were in Texas, said the Lord spoke to us in our prayer time. I know her name was Irene and Andy. I don't know why I just thought of that. Irene and Andy Chandler, that's what their names were. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And she said, we were praying. The Lord said, we want to sow this seed toward your ministry. We heard you were starting a church. We want to sow this seed to your ministry, you know. And I tell you, at that time, that took care of our entire budget for the church and us personally for a whole month. Now, it's changed since then, you know. And I thought, looky here. I almost said, Shazam. Golly. Spirit of Gomer Powell came on me, man. I thought, wow. And I never had that happen. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, I'd never had that happen to me before. Okay, that was the first time. Divine provision. Man, that made me feel good inside. I did hear from you, Lord. You did, you know. But here's the problem. A month went by, and now we're needing that same thing again. Now, I developed a bad habit because every time I'd hear that mail truck pull up, he'd pull up on the street. I'd hear him shut the engine off. I'd hear the clink on the mailbox, and I would dart down the steps and look in the mailbox. Ah, nothing's in there. Now, I'm telling you where I was coming from. This went on for a couple of weeks, and while I'm doing this, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. And he said, son, do you think I live in that box? Oh. I know where he was going with that. He said, you're trusting in the mail now. You're trusting in the mailman. You're trusting in something coming in the mail. I thought, oh, God, yes, yes, you're right, Lord. He said, God knows our hearts, you know? So every time that mail truck would come in, I just darted down the steps, opened that thing up and look, and there was nothing there, okay? Well, see, God was teaching me a progression here about trust. He was teaching me about trust. And we can never get away from that. We always have to be in a position. Listen, the safest place that you can be in this life is when you're trusting God. Do you know that? The safest place you can be in this life now throughout the rest of your days on this earth is I'm in a position. I'm trusting God. Hallelujah. Because He will not let you down. So the Lord spoke to my heart there again, just inside me, not with these ears, but inside me. He said, do you think I live in that mailbox? I said, oh God, I repent. Forgive me. Forgive me. And you know what? That same month, God provided through another channel, not the mailbox, another thing completely different that had nothing to do with the first person. In fact, that first person only sent that seed one time. That was it. Okay? But I thought about Elijah. When he was at the brook Cherith, and the Bible says, God commanded the ravens to feed him. And every day, every morning, those ravens will come over and drop food into his lap. Did you know that happened? But all of a sudden, there came a time when the brook dried up. And he says, now I've commanded a widow woman in this particular town to sustain you. Well, what if he would have stayed there and said, well, Lord, you use the ravens. I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to trust in the ravens. Well, he would have died. He says, now I'm going to use this woman over here. Now, my point being is this. You can never get your eyes. Here's what we're going to say here. There is only one source in your life, but there's many channels. Now, whether you're in ministry or just going through life, always remember this. God is, there's only one source, but there's many channels. Our job is not to get our eyes on the channel. Scripture says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto you, right? And so we start looking for a man or a woman to give to us. That's the channel. There's only one source. When we make Jesus our source, when God is our source, then we're in a position. He can use any channel to get things to us. Can I have an amen? Amen. Praise God. And so I began to learn some things slowly and steady about trust. And, you know, I'll tell you the truth, it really helped me to deal with other people as well, because sometimes we can look down our noses at people, but if we were in their position, we may have acted the same way they did, if not worse. You ever do that before? Well, if I was in their shoes, I would. Amen? Listen, when you've been there and you've been through some rough spots and you've hurt and you know the pain, you're a lot less quick to jump down someone's throat and condemn them and pull out your faith pistol. Boom! Where's your faith at? Amen? I've been through some really hard times in my life. Really rough times in my life. And I hated every second going through it. My flesh did. But in the final analysis, after I've been through some stuff, the Bible says the Lord will make you perfect and established and settled, and your roots will go down deeper. Your trust roots will go down deeper. Amen? The only reason today for any of us here in this room to have any fear about 2016, about your body, about your finances, about your future, the only reason that you would be afraid is if your trust is in other things. We have to learn how to trust the Lord. Now, I don't mean that to say that you're not doing that. We are. We're moving forward. But we have to learn to put our trust in God where our bodies are concerned. Okay? Listen, I believe in eating healthy. I try to eat organic if I can. It's not always available. But my total trust is not in the food. I was talking to Lynn and Kathy Mink about this. We had a nice conversation about this. And they said this, now don't you revere them as a man and woman of God? Yes. They've been around this a long, long time. And they said, Pastor Keith, we've noticed this, that too many times they've seen ministers even that put all their trust in just their diet only, and they still die. Well, what's the deal with that picture? Because if you think about it, if it was just organic food and things like that that kept us healthy, then why were so many people sick and full of disease back in Bible times? Do you think there was genetically altered food back then? Do you think there was MSG in the food back then? Do you think there was chemicals? No, it was totally organic. But the Bible says there was all sickness and all disease among the people. Point being is this. Now, I want to throw common sense out there. We need to study. We need to do, educate ourselves, eat good, the best. But our trust, here's the point I'm trying to make is this. Our total trust can't be just in what we're taking in our mouth. We have to trust in God and trust Him with our souls, with our bodies, with our health. Amen? So if we want to walk in divine health in 2016, we have to say out loud, Lord, I trust you for my body. I say that on a regular basis. I trust you for my physical sustenance. I trust you for my body. I trust you for good health. I trust you this year for financial increase and to get out of debt. Hallelujah. I trust you, Lord. And that's the safest. Boy, I'm going all over the place here today. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That is the safest place that you and I could be when we're trusting God. We can just say, ah. Do you remember that commercial way back? It says the Nestea plunge. Yes. Drink that iced tea and just kind of fall back. You know what I'm saying? You remember that? Okay, that's a few years back. But that's the attitude that we need to have, as a carefree, fear-free attitude. And I'm telling you what. If you have to say it every single day, I am redeemed from the spirit of fear and I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to worry. Listen, I don't fear about ISIS. Amen. Amen. I don't fear the terrorist. They fear us. Amen. I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of that. I don't care. I'm telling you what, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. The Bible says, but it's not going to come near my house. I'm telling you that right now. I trust God. We trust God. In God we trust. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, that just brings joy to your heart. Now, sometimes you'll say it by faith, you know. You'll start out, and I do this too. I'll say, Lord, I trust you. I might be in the shower. I might be getting ready. Lord, I trust you. I trust you today. I trust you, Lord. And all of a sudden, it just kicks in. It registers like, yeah, I get to trust God today. Glory to God. That means I can go through my day. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to bite someone's head off because I'm angry or because I'm anxious. Do you know most of the time the reason that we get angry at people and yell at people is because we're afraid? Yeah. We're afraid. Sometimes anger is more often than not, it's just a manifestation of fear. Amen? And I had to recognize that myself, because sometimes you get mad at some things and you're like, wait a minute, it's because you're not trusting God. You get afraid, you start snipping and snapping and whatever else, like an alligator. Amen? Stop and think about that. Almost out of time here already. My goodness. God has increase on His mind in every area of our lives for us personally. We can have increase in health this year. God wants to increase your health. And if you've been having a back situation, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God right now. If you've been having a back problem right now, stand up. You've been having a problem with your back, stand up right now. Oh my, today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. Now honestly, God is my witness. I couldn't think of one single person when I said that because it just came right out of my spirit instantly right there. If you're around someone that's standing, would you kindly lay hands on them right now? Hold your hands and lay your hands on them. I'm going to pray. Praise God. And I'm telling you, the power of God is going to go into you. In my spirit, not with my natural eyes, but in my spirit, I see a strong spine, a very strong spine, pain-free. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, as hands are being laid upon these precious people right now, I release the healing virtue and power of God into these people right now, into their backs. I command their backs to be made whole, to be well, and to be pain-free in the name of Jesus. Pain, you go in Jesus' name. Inflammation, you go in Jesus' name. And right now, Lord, we believe we receive. And the power of God is flowing into their backs right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive it right now. Amen. Praise God. Let's thank Him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. That's the Father's love, you know? Because He loves you. Because He cares for you. It's always interesting when this happens because I've got pages of notes here and like I basically read the first scripture and that was it. But that's okay. You know why? Because the Lord's in charge here. Amen. You know, and He's going to have His way. Amen. And He just wants to prove to you and show you how much this year. Now, some of us have been saved for quite a while. Okay? But I tell you, the Lord's going to take you to a whole nother level in your trust for Him and understanding His love for you, how much He really cares for you. See, anytime I've ever gotten afraid, you've ever been afraid before? Fearful thoughts ever hit you? You know what I'm saying? Anytime I've ever been afraid, it's because I'm trusting the wrong thing. So what we need to do is transfer our trust in the one that is able to take care of us. I was thinking about this because I'm reading through the Bible too, and I really enjoy this story of the Exodus. That just fascinates me, you know, because here you got a group of people that have been in 400 years of dire bondage for 400 years. They're in the land of not enough. God brings them out into the wilderness when he delivers them. That's the land of just enough. Ultimately, he wants to bring them into the land of Canaan, which is the land of more than enough. Are you with me? But this was a faith journey for them, because here God supernaturally delivers these people, brought 10 plagues and judgments on Egypt. Remember that? And by the way, all those judgments were brought on the gods that they worshiped. They worshiped the now God. Okay? They worshiped frogs. And God brought those 10 plagues were judgments on the gods of Egypt. They worshiped cattle. Where do you think the golden calf came from? Amen? But God did a major thing and brought them out. And then, of course, going forward real quick, God brought them down to the Red Sea, you know, and the beach at Nuebwa. Nuebwa, I think, how do you say it? Nuebwa, I think it is. It's still there to this day, the same site where they cross, you know. Do you know that, this is just a little side thought there. Do you know that they found the Red Crossing, the site, there's an underwater bridge there, okay. It's the only part where if you remove the water, you can walk through. The rest of it's like steep, huge. There's no way, even if God removed the water, they couldn't walk down there. And they found chariot parts on the bottom and skeletons, horse chariots on the bottom of the Red Sea. Amen? And if you have a chance, look up Ron Wyatt. If you're on YouTube, look up Ron Wyatt. Okay? W-Y-A-T-T. Ron Wyatt, if you're YouTube, he has some pretty cool things. And it just, we know that this happened, but the world needs to see that this stuff really is true. Okay? And, but you know, God split the Red Sea, you know that. They marched through on dry ground. And then what happens? The Egyptians, Moses holds out his rod there, and now the waters come clashing back together. And all of Egypt, their enemies, were dead. Not one of them survived. Not one of them survived. They saw all the dead bodies on the beach, you know, and everything and so forth. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of his chief chariots and things like that. They all perished. And they started singing a song, Miriam, Moses' sister. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. We made a song about that, you know, in recent years. And then the next day, God did a supernatural. See, we're talking about trust here, and I'll close on this. Trust, trust, trust. They get out there, and all of a sudden, they're thirsty. They have no water. They begin to grumble, complain to Moses. Have you taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Now, the day before, the Lord just drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea. How soon can we forget? But see, God is testing them in the fact, not testing them through bad stuff, but he's saying, are they going to trust me in this? When they have a need, are they going to trust me? Okay? He's going to see what's in their heart. They begin to murmur and complain. So they came to a place called Marah, which meant bitter waters. And there was a body of water that was there. So they thought, this is it, this is it. So they began to taste the water, and the water was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And so right away, they threw their hands up, so to speak. And I said, what's the deal with this, Moses? We're dying of thirst. Have you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? Remember that? And the Lord instructed Moses to get a tree and throw it into the water, a branch from a tree, and throw it into the water. And when he took the tree, which is the cross, it made the bitter waters sweet. See, that's a type and a shadow of the cross that Jesus hung on. He makes the bitter waters sweet. So he throws the tree into the water, and God does a supernatural miracle, and now it's drinkable. I mean, it's better than spring water, I'm telling you what. Praise God. better than this stuff right here. Amen. Aquafarine or whatever it's called comes out of the Detroit River. I thought I saw a little tire inside there or something, but you know. But so this keeps happening with their food and with their water and so forth, you know. And every single time the Israelites start bellyaching, they start complaining. Would the God, were there no graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in the wilderness? You know what I'm saying? Well, listen, why would God go through what he did to supernaturally bring them out of Egypt, to drown them in the Red Sea, only to just kill them? He could have done that back in Egypt. So what's happening here? Trust. Trust. And every single time, they seemed, most of the Israelites, 90% or more, failed the test, the trust test. When their backs were up against the wall, and they're like, all right, what's the deal with this? We had it better in Egypt. You know? Let's go back to Egypt. Let's make us a captain and go back to Egypt. I mean, now they're at Mount Sinai. God has brought them over to there, you know. And Moses, God brings them up on top of the mountain, above the people, okay, to get instructions. And they thought he took a little bit too long. He's up there for 40 days. And the Israelites began to murmur and complain down there. And all of a sudden, the pressure got so strong that Aaron, Moses' brother, said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Pull your earrings out, all you women here, because they plundered the Egyptians. You know, they got all the silver and the gold from them. He said, bring me all your earrings. We're going to melt it here, and we're going to make a molten calf. Okay? In fact, you will find that on Ron White's website. There's that altar is still there. There's hieroglyphics of cattle that are still there. Okay? It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. And in Saudi Arabia, which is where Mount Sinai is, you know, Galatians says that Mount Sinai is in Arabia. That's where it is, Saudi Arabia. All right, it's not where the people think it is over in the Sinai Peninsula. That's not where it's at. And there's no cattle out in that part of the country at all. Not at all. It's dry. It's arid. But yet there's hieroglyphics of cattle, the Apis bull that they worship back in Egypt that's on these big stones where they built the altar for the golden calf. It's still there. Okay? You can see it online. And so they thought he was taking too long, so Aaron, think about the pressure that was on him. Let's make us a golden calf and we'll bow down to worship that golden calf. Oh, was that a bad mistake? And Moses comes down there 40 days later. You know the rest of the story. You saw the Ten Commandments. Well, you know, read the Bible, it's a lot more specific, you know. I said all that to say this. God was wanting to get the Israelites to a place where they trust him to supply their every need. Its scripture tells us that their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. Now, I don't care how good the brand is, nothing's going to last that long. You can buy the best stuff out there, but it's not going to last that long. Well, what made it last? The Lord sustained them. He provided a pillar of cloud by day to keep them from out of the sun, from getting scorched. And then at night in the desert, it gets rather cold, a pillar of fire to keep them warm. He says, the scripture says, he brought them out on eagle's wings, supernaturally. Supernaturally. And that journey from Egypt to the Red Sea, notice this, it was a 3-day journey without sleep. Without sleep. So in other words, God sustained them. They marched for 3 days. Not one of them got tired. The scripture tells us that he brought them forth out of Egypt. And there was over 2 million Jews, Israelites. He brought them forth with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble or sick person among their tribes. The Bible says that plainly in Psalms. I mean, over 2 million people? I've never seen 2 million people ever, only on film. You know, Reinhard Bonnke's Crusades, you know. But I've never seen 2 million people. And the Bible says there was not one feeble or sick one among their tribes. That is nothing short of a miracle, isn't it? They didn't get tired. They didn't get weary. And God says, I brought you forth on eagle's wings. Okay, he lifted them up. He didn't just translate them there. They walked there, but they didn't get tired. That's why the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen? And do you think God has changed? Praise God. So here's what I want to just end on here today, is that let's get our trust roots so strong in God that we trust Him, that we begin to say that every day. That's how we're going to start this, okay? Every single day you get out of bed, you know, you do your thing. First thing that you can do, and you're on your way to work, whatever the case is, open your mouth and say, Lord, I am trusting you today. I trust you for this. I trust you for this. I trust you for this. I trust you for my health. I trust you with my finances. See, this whole giving thing that we talk about in church, you know, that's about trust. Well, we give of our tithes and offerings to God. That is all about trust. Who are we trusting in? The living God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Amen? We're not buying something from God. We're saying, Lord, I trust you in this. Now, thank you, Lord. You're going to provide for me this year. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to open up the windows of heaven this year. Oh, thank you, Lord. We know, we talk about that. We read about that. The windows of heaven. It's not just financial increase. That's certainly a part of it. But I'm telling you, the windows of heaven are favor and opportunities and blessing and health and the windows of heaven. The only time in Genesis 7:11 that the windows of heaven were opened was for the rain to fall upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and that was a curse. But over in the book of Malachi, it says God will open up the windows of heaven to give you a blessing, to pour out a blessing upon you. That's what the Lord has for us this year in 2016. Amen? Let's lift your hands and thank Him right now. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, that we trust you. Some, the Bible says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but our trust is in the name of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. Amen? Praise God. Josh, bring one more scripture up, if you would. This wasn't, but it's Psalm 125. I really felt quickened to say this. Share this with me. Psalms 125, starting in verse 1. We're going to read about you this morning. Are you ready? Okay, there's a few verses here. But they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Notice the next verse. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. Next verse. Yeah, we'll stop right there. Okay? Those two verses right there. They that trust in the Lord, they're going to be like Mount Zion. What's that? Mount Zion, where Jerusalem is. Can't be moved. Do you know how many enemies want to take Israel off the map? They're not going to do it. If they had the ability to press a button and press the switch to blow them off the face of the earth, do you know how many enemies would love to do that? But I got news for you. It's not going to happen. It will not happen. Because the Lord said it's going to abide continually forever. But He says, they that trust in the Lord, do you trust in the Lord? I trust in the Lord. You're going to be like that Mount Zion. You're going to have enemies trying to remove you, try to shake you, try to move you. But you're going to abide there. You're going to stay standing there because the Mount Zion, if you trust in the Lord, you're going to be just like Mount Zion. Amen. And you see that picture of Jerusalem and you see that wall and the city there and the Dome of the Rock and all that, Mount Zion. You that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. That means you're going to be here this time next year. That means you're going to be healthy and whole this time next, a year from now. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be strong. You're not going to die of some freak accident this year. You're not going to die of sickness and disease. You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You will live long and you will live strong and you will finish your course. You will finish your destiny and nothing's going to take you out. No accident, no car accident, no plane wreck, nothing. No dog bite, whatever. I'm telling you, God is going to keep you strong and stable this year. And not only that, He's going to provide supernaturally for you. Amen. Over and above, supernaturally. He's your provider. I think that's why Paul said, I glory in tribulation. I thought, man, is he a glutton for punishment? Most gladly, therefore, why glory in tribulation? What in the world's that all about? You know, because he said, when I am weak, then am I strong, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what that thorn in the flesh was. Satan was as a messenger from Satan to buffet him. That was not a sickness or disease. It was sent to stop the message from going out. It was a messenger, a demon spirit. Well, Paul got victory over that thing. That's another message, but he got victory over that thorn in the flesh, took authority over it, because he kept praying to the Lord, Lord, remove this thing from me, remove this thing from me. And God kept saying, my grace is sufficient, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that's not saying you have to keep putting up with. He was saying, I've given you the power, you have authority, take authority, don't pray to me about it, you do something about it. Amen? I wish I had time to teach on that, but he got rid of the thorn in the flesh. He got rid of it, and he fulfilled his destiny. Nobody took his life until he was ready to lay his life down. Glory to God. Whew, that's a mouthful right there, but blessing, blessing, blessing on you, the people of God, the children of God, this year. Amen. Lift your hands. I'm going to pray for you and we'll dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I release the blessing of Abraham to run its full course. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. What was that, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you ever get a credit card before? That's what the Lord reminded me of. But in order to use, for it's the first time you've gotten this credit card, you have to call a number, an 800 number, and you have to what? Activate the card. You have to activate. This is what we're doing right now, is these things already belong to you. The health, the provision. Jesus already provided that for you and for me. All. It's all met already. But the way that we activate those promises is our faith. Open our mouth. We say, oh, thank you, Lord. Say, I give you, Lord, full permission to bless me this day, this year, every day of this year. Bless me, Lord, and I shall be a blessing. Hallelujah. That's what God told Abraham. He goes, I'll bless you, and you shall be a blessing. So we can't. If we're not blessed first, we can't be a blessing. But I say we are blessed. You woke up this morning. You had food to eat. You got here. Hallelujah. You're a blessed man. You're a blessed woman. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.